Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
Welcome everyone. Welcome everyone to today's edition of the Gym Class. Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann with you for the next hour, followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 to 7. Thanks for joining us today. A lot on the plate. We're going to talk a lot about the Iowa-Illinois game this week. Football game, 11 o'clock kick at Kinnick Stadium. The resurgent Illini coming in. We're going to visit with Brian Barnhart, play-by-play voice of the Fighting Illini, bring a 6-4 record and 4-game winning streak into this game. We're going to go over Kirk Ferentz's news conference today. A lot of talk about seniors on this Iowa roster. And touch on Monday Night Football. Victory by the Kansas City Chiefs. A very nice one, but why in the world do they play in Mexico City? Afternoon, Kyle.
How you doing, Mark? It seems like that field down there in Mexico City is just never ready. I get why they keep going down there. You know, it's a good market you want to tap into, but, you know, time and time again, the facilities are just not adequate, and I wonder how long they're going to keep doing that.
A couple pieces of news before we get into the Iowa-Illinois game. Teresa Bear, volleyball coach at Linmar, has announced she's not going to return. One of the most successful volleyball coaches in the state, a Cedar Rapids Jefferson graduate, spent 7 years at Linmar, 3 state tournament trips. Prior to that, 6 Class 1A state championships at Tripola. She wants to be a grandma and not a coach. Hard to blame her for that, but terrific career, Teresa. And I know a lot of people send you off with a lot of good vibes. Also in Mount Vernon, Cornell football coach Vince Brodigam has decided he will not return to his post with the Rams. Vince spent 10 seasons as the Cornell football coach, 4-5 this season. Of course, Cornell is still a member of the Midwest Conference in football. And we've had Vince on the show. Terrific guy. Came from the University of Dubuque, I believe, where he was very successful. But the Rams now looking for a head football coach next season. Kyle, you were in Iowa City for the players and the coaches as they met the media week 11 of the college football season. Give us some highlights.
Honestly, in terms of highlights, you know, something grabby, it just honestly was not there. It was a sentimental day, you know, not to say that tears were shed or anything like that, but it was a, you know, with senior day coming up this weekend, it was a week for reflection. We saw some faces, at the player availability this morning that aren't typically there. We heard from Brady Ross, who I think is, you know, we'll hear some clips from Kirk talking about Brady Ross on Todd and Alex's show, but that's honestly a lot of what it was, asking the players to look back on it, asking Kirk about, you know how important is so-and-so, and it was a lot of that, which, you know, I don't know the right word to use. It's very generic because, you know, you do it once a year, but this year, I don't know why, but I was just kind of thinking about it, and this Iowa football team does have some seniors, some characters that are probably going to be remembered. I said Brady Ross, you know, just a fullback, you know, one of the last of a dying breed, but he really kind of characterizes a lot of what is important to the Iowa program. I don't want to say that Brady Ross has become a folk hero because he hasn't, but he is a certain character who I think people will remember. And then you look at guys like the Levi and Landon Paulson. Those are definitely some characters people are going to remember. And then Amani Jones is also another guy who I think had a really interesting story, and I'm always going to remember and respect for, you know, was it last season? He was coming into the year as Iowa's starting middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. He gets benched after you know, one series or something like that. And, you know, there are so many other players across the country who at the age of 20, 21, or however old he is, they would just transfer. They'd go play somewhere else. But Imani Jones didn't do anything like that. And in fact, he embraced his role on the special teams. He embraced his role as hype man on the sideline. And, you know, he's been rewarded this year. He's now playing that role in when Iowa comes out in that 3-4 look. But, yeah, just I don't normally get into the senior day and just the sentimentality of it, but there are some guys on this Iowa team that I'm going to remember.
319-366-1600, our phone line and our Hertzing and Stocker Jeweler text line, should you choose to weigh in. 10,000 tickets remain for this matchup. A little surprised at that, especially after Iowa coming off victory over Minnesota and Illinois coming in with a pretty good football team. 10,000 tickets remain.
Yeah, 10,000 is a lot. I don't know. Maybe you are dealing with a little bit of apathy at this point in the season where, you know, of course, Iowa's always going to tell you that every game matters and, you know, every game's important. But maybe some fans out there see that, you know, Illinois is resurgent, but it's not like you're going to see Ohio State. You're not showing up to see the other team. You're also not showing up because it's a hugely consequential game. I guess it's just a perfect storm there.
A couple pieces of news. Ivory Kelly-Martin, the running back, and Justin Britt, offensive guard, looks like they're headed for a red shirt after not playing a heck of a lot this season. Wide receiver Brandon Smith and defensive back Michael Ojemudia are making progress and could be available this week for the Hawkeyes. Brandon Smith, really dynamic receiver, and Ojemudia, and a very experienced defensive back. You mentioned senior day. In this day and age when kids are going to the NFL early, Tristan Wirfs, Alaric Jackson, A.J. Epinesa, they're not seniors, right?
No, they're not.
All three could choose to go to the NFL, right?
I would expect as much.
Not that it's a huge deal, but they may never have a senior day. What do you do with those types of kids?
I mean,
they haven't made an announcement yet.
Yeah.
So it's hard to honor them this coming Saturday as a, you know, an outgoing player. But I think chances are better than even that these three guys aren't going to be, they're going to leave early and not be with the program. So they don't get to hug their significant others and be recognized at Kinnick Stadium. Again, not a hugely, you know, a tremendous deal, but there is that.
It's an interesting question because what can you do with those guys? Because, you know, certainly A.J. Epinesa, Tristan Wirfs, a local kid, Alaric Jackson, a productive player for the Hawkeyes. I'm sure the Hawkeye fans and the Hawkeye program would like to get them some recognition, have their moment out there at midfield, getting cheered by everybody and all that. But at the same time, if you were going to do that, you've got to ask these guys to consider their futures midseason, which I think is something that, you know, just as a rule of thumb, if I'm in charge of my program, I'm not necessarily going to tell somebody to not be considering your future throughout the season, but I'm probably also not going to encourage you to start looking ahead while we're still in the middle of a season. So what can you do? If we're talking about if Iowa had, you know, a quarterback who's going to go first overall, I think it maybe becomes a little bit easier decision where he's definitely going to go. But anybody on the fringes, like, you know, Epinesa's maybe a top 10 pretty securely, but Wirfs and Jackson, those are fringe first, second round guys. They could still make a decision that they would like to stay. I don't anticipate that, but it would be kind of uncomfortable to have them try to make that decision right now.
By the way, my co-host Scott Unash with the day off today. If you're wondering where he is, he'll be back tomorrow. Looking forward to his return. Appreciate Kyle sitting in yesterday and today. Kenneth on the text line, I would love to see Ryan Schmidt get in the game for even just one play. The consummate teammate. Now, Ryan Schmidt is a product of Linmar. Walked on the University of Iowa program, and to my knowledge, has never gotten into a game. He's a senior quarterback, and I don't know if Iowa will be in a position to get backups in the game. But yes, I agree, Kenneth, that would be a terrific thing to see. and a great thing for Ryan if that does happen.
You're right. He has not taken a snap, and let's see. I'm not I guess I won't necessarily ask you for a score prediction or anything like that, but do you expect Iowa to be in a position to get him a snap? Because, like I said, you're right. He has not gotten a single snap as a Hawkeye.
I don't anticipate it I don't anticipate Iowa's going to be up 3-4 touchdowns going into the fourth quarter. That I do not anticipate. Should Iowa, be leading by 10 or 12 points with one kneel down left?
Right.
Go ahead and put Ryan in. That'd be a great move. 319-366-1600. We'll get you an Emil's Hideaway poll question coming up very quickly here. Brian Barnhart, Illinois play-by-play voice, going to be joining us here in a couple minutes. I don't know what to do about the underclassmen who may go to the pros. Would you rather give them two senior days instead of none?
I honestly, if I had to make a decision, I think I would. It's going to sound tough.
It'd be awkward, wouldn't it? Here's Tristan Wirfs. Wait a minute. He's got another year.
Yeah. Especially, like I said, he's kind of on the fringe.
It's just a just-in-case type of thing?
I think it kind of sucks to say it has to be this way, but if I had to make a choice what to do with the underclassmen, I would say they just don't get a senior day. You weren't here for 4 years. It's not necessarily something I'm holding against you, but senior day is a celebration of the guys who hung around for 4 or 5 years, toiled and gave their sweat and tears and all that good stuff. It's a celebration of all the hard work they put in. And I'm not saying that Tristan Wirfs and Alaric Jackson and AJ Epenesa didn't put in a lot of hard work for the Hawkeyes, but they're not seniors. If I have to make a decision, they're not going to be in senior day.
Let's take a quick break and we'll dial up Brian Barnhart and talk some Illinois football. Stay tuned after this.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
KGYM and the Cedar Rapids Metro Economic Alliance encourage you to grow here this holiday season. When you use local business services, you support your family, friends, and neighbors. Whether you work with Saxton, Top Rank, JP Gasway, Terry Lockridge and Dunn, or Myron Construction, these local businesses create a close-knit and thriving business culture. Grow here and learn more at cedarrapids.org.
The first thing your guests see is the outside of your home, so make sure it's ready to greet them for the holidays. A new front door from Therma-True will make a statement and create a stunning entrance. In fact, with a new Therma-True front door from Alexander Lumber, you'll spruce up your curb appeal and give your guests a warm welcome before they even reach the doorbell. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Dave is a common name used in a comical way. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
This is Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Sarah was looking for a job, but wanted to stay local.
That's right.
First, she built a giant satellite, then launched it into space to send a signal transmitting her resume. This did not lend Sarah a job, but it did start a war with the Zarkon Nebula.
I went too far.
Yes, Sarah went too far. But you don't have to go too far to go far. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com only posts local jobs, so employers are way more likely to respond to your application and offer you a job. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
When class isn't in session, take part in weekend extracurricular activities on Smart FM. Glenn Gardner takes you on a journey to concerts all over the world on Live from the Soundboard. Chris Jackson's got alternative rock on Where It's At. And of course, hit the lunchroom for the Beatles Buffet Sunday mornings. Weekends are better with extracurricular activities on Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
I just want to hear a little more of that, Kyle.
This is my favorite one that we come into.
318, Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann with you today. Again, Scott Unash will be back in his captain's chair tomorrow as we head for the end of the week. Nice text here from 4398 on Senior Day. He said Senior Day will be a great experience. But I think those guys will be fine waiting to hug their loved ones at the NFL draft.
Yeah, not a terrible consolation prize there.
Not at all. Right now, it's time to talk some Illinois football with Illini play-by-play voice Brian Barnhart. How are things in Champaign-Urbana, Brian?
Oh, going pretty good. Got a little winning streak going there, and so I think there's a lot of optimism, certainly. Being bowl eligible helps the mood of everybody, and basketball's off to a pretty good start, so things are going well.
Excellent. Brian, I, on a personal standpoint, I was at a wedding at the Urbana Country Club in August, and suffice to say there was a lot of orange Kool-Aid being drunk that night, among other things. But Illinois fans there were very... very optimistic. Frankly, I was more optimistic about the success of Bruce and Chris than I was the Illini football team. But why was there reason for optimism?
Well, I think, you had a team that had taken its lumps in the previous 2 years. Guys that, you know, they played a lot of freshmen a couple of years ago, and then those guys were sophomores the next year and played some more freshmen. And all of those guys, you know, kind of learned under fire, basically, for a couple of years. And now they're older, and they've improved, and they've added some transfers. That has certainly helped the transfer portal, which a lot of teams are, you know, using these days with all the activity there. And, you know, they found a quarterback from Michigan and Brandon Peters. They found a couple of players from USC. One was Josh Imaterbebe, who is leading the Big Ten in touchdown receptions. And you add that to an offensive line that was basically intact from a year ago and has played a lot of games together, and then they're getting a lot of turnovers. And you add all that up, and finally, those turnovers started coming in big numbers during the course of the year. But I think most people were thinking, hey, if we can get to a bowl game, be 6-6, that would be fantastic, you know, after the last couple of years. And I think that was kind of the basis of the optimism is, hey, let's get to a bowl this year. I think we're good enough. How they got there, though, this year is not the path that everybody thought they would take. So that's a whole story in itself.
Yeah, after a couple victories, really tough losses to Eastern Michigan and Nebraska, all of a sudden the Illini are 2-4 and maybe Lovie Smith with 1 foot out the door. But, man, the last month, what has turned things around?
Well, you saw, you know, it was funny because we kept telling people, and you guys know how this is, you keep telling people as a team is rebuilding and they're getting better. You know, I didn't coach football. I didn't play it, but I've seen enough of it over nearly 20 years to, you know, I'm looking at it going, these guys are better, you know, but until they win a game of consequence or until they take care of a team like Eastern Michigan, they're supposed to, then nobody really believes you or they kind of doubt it. So the Eastern Michigan game, they gave away. They had 100 yards and penalties. You know, they were still in a position to win. Nebraska, they had down 2 touchdowns and were knocking on the door for a 3-touchdown lead, and then the defense just wore out, and Nebraska scored in the closing seconds of the game. So there were two there. Where the turnaround kind of began, a lot of people point to, is the Michigan game. They got down 28-0. They score right before half. They rally all the way back against a pretty good Michigan team, all the way back to 28-25. And just the way they did that in that stretch with turnovers and and you know, running the ball and so forth. They got back in the game. They had a couple of late turnovers, and so the score looked a little worse than the game actually was. And then, you know, going in, even the most optimistic fan to play Wisconsin on that Saturday, thinking, well, let's try not to get hurt, first of all. And Wisconsin hasn't allowed anybody to score hardly, and you know, defensively and offensively, they haven't trailed in a game yet. And they started, you know, getting more of the way they played against Michigan. Started getting some turnovers. Wisconsin's driving for the game sealing touchdown, basically, and they poke it away from Jonathan Taylor. You know, it went from, boy, let's not get hurt, to before the dramatic kick to win the game by James McCord. It's like, oh, my goodness, we might actually win this game. And so they've just kind of built on that from there, took care of business at Purdue, you know, shut them down, more turnovers. Rutgers, they were in a battle early at 10-10 and then took over in the second half. And then Michigan State last week, they got down again. It was eerily similar to the Michigan game. And my color man, Martin O'Donnell, he, you know, said after the game that, Brian, this was the Michigan game, but this time they finished it.
Mm.
And that's kind of where we are on a four-game winning streak.
You and Mark already discussed that a lot of folks out there in Illini country came into this season with a certain degree of optimism, and now with the Wisconsin win and rattling off four in a row, we now see that it's come to fruition that this is a much improved Illini team. But despite that 2-4 start, were there moments where you saw on the field that this team could be a little bit different?
Oh, yeah. During the course of the Nebraska game, you know, during the Eastern Michigan game is kind of an anomaly because they just really beat themselves. But, yeah, and then during the Michigan game, I think that's where it showed up especially. It was like, hey, this team can counterpunch, you know, against a good team. And then they it started showing up there. But you could tell once they really bought in, and they have, but I think it started showing up even more when they started getting results from it, the poking the ball away. They have a football that sticks out in the meeting room for the team, and every day all the defensive guys have to swat at it or try to knock it off the wall. And so it's a point of emphasis every day. It's ingrained. And when those turnovers started happening in bushel baskets, you know, the guys really emphasized it and really bought into that. And so, you know, I think, again, the Michigan game was kind of the turning point. Even though they lost, they gained a lot of confidence from that, knowing that they could go toe-to-toe with a really good team and give themselves a chance to win.
Certainly, turnovers, as you alluded to, Brian, have been a huge part of this run. 6 defensive touchdowns, 16 fumble recoveries, first in the nation in about a half a dozen categories in regard to turnovers. And you pointed to one little drill or activity that the players have to do. These things don't happen by accident.
No, you're absolutely right. It's an identity. You know, I mean, you know, Iowa has their identity over the years with Kirk Ferentz, the stability and the way they play, the way they approach games. Wisconsin has their DNA that they use to win games. And those programs like that have success year after year on a consistent basis, they've got a certain DNA. And that's what Lovie Smith's been trying to put in, getting better players, obviously, and recruiting better and recruiting, but also finding guys that will buy into that particular DNA and that identity, and it's paying off. So it's real important, and they want to run the football. That certainly is another trademark. If you remember the Lovie Smith Chicago Bears teams, that's how they won a lot of games. You know, turnovers, takeaways, special teams, field position, and running the football. And that's kind of what he's establishing here.
Brian Barnhart, play-by-play voice of the Illinois Fighting Illini, joining us on today's Gym Class, heading for the bottom of the hour. Kyle.
Illinois leads the Big Ten in turnover margin, and like you guys just talked about, 26 takeaways is a big part of that. But on the flip side of that is not turning the ball over. Quarterback Brandon Peters, I believe 16 touchdowns, has only turned it over 5 times. How important is it to finally have a quarterback that you feel like you can trust back there?
Yeah, it's great. We've gone through a lot of them, certainly. You know, tried different ones here recently, some young guys, different style quarterbacks. We had Jeff George Jr., Jeff George's son, a couple of years ago, and he was more of a pocket passer. We've had some other guys who have been a little more runners. Still have some of those guys available to us as backups, but Brandon's been great. I mean, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Sometimes, you know, fans will say, well, he holds onto the ball too long, or he telegraphs a pass here or there. But, you know, when we've really needed a big play, and after he, in Michigan State game, the first half, he was just getting chased all over the place, and he stuck it out. He stuck in there. He hung in there. And when you need a big pass play on a 4th and 17, when the game's on the line, he's able to make them. And, you know, going to Emmanuel Bebe or going to Daniel Barker or whatever the case is. So he's made the plays. You know, is he an NFL quarterback? No. But is he a good, solid college quarterback that is a smart guy and his teammates really enjoy playing with him? Yeah, absolutely.
Brian, I look at this aspect of Saturday's game. Illinois coming off its second bye week and Iowa coming off a very emotional victory over the previously undefeated Minnesota Golden Gophers, and you've been at this for a long time, as have we. Sometimes those bye weeks can be overrated, but sometimes not. What do you think?
I think for Illinois, it came at a good time. Some people would say, well, you know, they've won 4 in a row, that you don't want to keep it going. But they had some key guys banged up. They've had Olawe Batiku, who's been out the last few weeks, trying to get him back with a foot injury. You've had Jamal Woods banged up a little bit. You've had, you know, some running backs that have been shaken up here and there, and some guys on the defensive side. So I think it probably came at a good time. It also came at a good time because of they'd won 4 in a row. They'd had 2 high-profile wins over Wisconsin and Michigan State, which was the biggest comeback in school history, and that allowed them to go on the road and recruit and say, hey, you know, here's what's happening. Take a look at us here. We're going to a bowl game. And so the timing there was good. And, you know, facing an Iowa team that just, you know, I forget the game was even played last year, but it was a really bad game for Illinois. And I'm sure they might remind them of that score. And, you know, also that Illinois hasn't beaten Iowa much in the last, you know, 2 decades. So, and they've got an opportunity here to build on 6 wins. And now we're, you know, talking about a bowl game. The only variables now are temperature and location.
Hmm. As much as things are looking better, looking up for Illinois, things have not exactly been perfect still. They've given up a Big Ten high 31 sacks, and especially going into a matchup this weekend with Iowa, with the D-line led by A.J. Epenesa, how much of a concern is that for them?
Oh, it's a concern. I mean, I don't think there's any question. They have you know, had some guys, some good defensive ends that have gotten through on occasion to, you know, more than on one occasion to get to Brandon Peters. And so that's been kind of a credit to him that he's been able to battle back from some of that. But those guys are all, I mean, Kramer's a really good center. Palcheski is considered a really good tackle. The kid from Alabama, Pettibone, comes from a great family. You know, Vidarian Lowe on the one side, and Kendrick Green is a kid they really like who's still pretty young. But, no, that's a key, obviously. They've got to. What teams have been doing, basically, in the games that, where they've tried to slow down Illinois, is take away the running game and force Peters to beat them with the throw. And if Peters can do that, then that just opens up everything else. And Emmanuel Bebe has been a big part of that success. When we've needed it, they've come up with big pass plays. But teams pretty much, you know, at times Minnesota did it, put 8 men in the box and said, beat us through the air. You know, they respect the running game Illinois has with Corbin and Brown and Bonner and all the guys they can bring in. And Peters will run it once in a while too. But, yeah, the offensive line against a guy like Epenesa, they have to be on their A game.
Brian, as a longtime Bears fan, I'm very familiar with Lovie Smith and his days in Chicago. Curious, you've been around him. I'd like to tell people – what he's like. He seems so stoic on the sidelines. Not a lot of emotion. What's Lovie Smith like to be around?
Well, pretty much what you see is who he is.
Okay.
I mean, he's he never gets. I mean, in the locker room, you know, he doesn't go, you know, go ballistic on anybody or anything. But he's kind of like, if, and this may, I'm maybe a little older than you guys, I don't know, but the old E.F. Hutton commercials, when E.F. Hutton would talk, people would listen, you know, and when he raises his voice or gets animated, it gets your attention. Because the players, you know, just, they respect him. He respects them, treats them like, you know, professionals and young men. They look up to him a lot, and so they have his respect, and vice versa. And I think that that works really well. But he's, He's got a really low-key sense of humor. He's from Texas. He grew up in a small town in Texas. He worked his way up through the college football ranks as a coach and then into the NFL. And he's humble. He doesn't like the spotlight on him. And kind of who you see on the sideline is who you get. And some people, you know, some people want more passion when the team was struggling. You know, they come on, you know, they want to feel like their coach is with them in the fight, but that's not who he is. You know, he's professional. He's he doesn't tell you a lot at press conferences. He'll tell you a little more on the radio show that we do with him each week. He's pretty relaxed there, and but just a really down-to-earth, good person who treats his guys right. And we've got a guy, just to give you an example, Bobby Rountree, who's been out for the year, suffered a diving accident, swimming accident this summer, and has been out, and the team's been staying in touch with him, and he's missing this year with that injury. And when he was first hurt, Lovie Smith went down to Florida and spent a couple of weeks in the hospital room with Bobby Rountree, staying in the room, sleeping in the room. And that, I don't know how many, you know, coaches would take the time to do that, to show their concern for someone like Bobby Rountree like that. I mean, just to sleep in the room and do that. So that's kind of who he is.
That's very special. And Brian, and the Illini going to make a trip to Kinnick and experience the wave for the first time. And I've every visiting team that comes in has just been fully participant in that what has become a pretty good college tradition. I'm sure you're looking forward to that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's seen it on TV, and it's a very 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 cool moment. And I'm sure they'll be very very happy to participate in that as other teams have done. It's a very great great tradition that's fairly new.
Brian, before we let you go, we are officially at the beginning of basketball season. The Illini off to a 3-1 start. How's the team coming together?
Well, they're coming together. They've got a big man. We haven't had one of these in a while. A 7-foot, 290-pound center who is not, if you remember Tractor Trailer from the old Michigan days, it's not that. I mean, this guy is chiseled, very little body fat, probably the fastest, one of the faster guys on the team. And he is a load inside. And so we've got him. We've got Georgie Bishanishvili back, who was a diamond in the rough they found last year. They've got Ayo Desumo back, who's expected to be a first-round pick. Senior guard in Andres Felice. You know, they've got Trent Frazier back as a junior, who's been one of the leading scorers the last couple of years. So there's talk about optimism for the football season when it began. There's a lot of optimism for the basketball. And feeling like this is a team that, A, could contend in the upper division of the Big Ten, and B, a team that will make the NCAA tournament. So they're feeling pretty good about things right now. They still got to work out a little bit some of their combinations, and Kofi's a freshman, and when he faces some of the big men in the Big Ten, how will he do? And the matching up, because Georgie Bishanishvili played center last year, and now he's at the four, and how will that work? And the guards getting the ball into the post and so forth. So they're working on some things, but they're off to a pretty good start, and people are pretty optimistic that they'll put it all together here before we get too deep into the season.
Brian, thanks so much for the time and insight, and hope you have a safe trip over to Iowa City and enjoy the game on Saturday.
Very good. Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brian. Brian Barnhart, play-by-play voice of the Illinois Fighting Illini, joining us on the Gym Class. Emo's Hideaway pick six on Friday. We're going to pick this game at 14 points in favor of Iowa. Just begging you to take Illinois, isn't it?
I think I see Illinois improving, and I see what they've done already to teams like Michigan State, who I think when you're preparing for going to Iowa, or when you're preparing to play Iowa, I feel like it's very similar to preparing to play Michigan State. And so, you know, I don't doubt that they can compete, but the weaknesses of that Illinois team just so happen to line up, like the offensive line struggles have given up the most sacks in the Big Ten. I just kind of have a feeling that the Iowa front seven, especially on senior day, is going to let loose. I think things could be hard offensively for the Illini on Saturday, and I might actually be tempted to take Iowa in that one.
Well, we'll see what our resident expert Dave Alec has to say about that on the Emo's Hideaway pick six. He's 10-1 in the last 2 weeks.
So we wait.
Friday, you'll get our picks. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about last night's National Football League game and more on the Jim Kloss.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Home Depot delivers on your terms. Just say when, where, and how. Get free delivery on over a million items. No membership required. Need it fast? Order in-stock items online and pick them up in as little as 2 hours. Or tell us when you'll be home, and we'll bring your order to your front door today. This is how doers get more done. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Visit homedepot.com for details.
Not quite ready for the holidays? Warm up to the season with McCafe donut sticks with chocolate dipping sauce and go from this.
Okay, Janice, I'm going to need you to take your holiday spirit from a 10 to a 2 before I pop your inflatable snowman.
To this.
Janice, these holiday decorations are a revelation. Oh, want to wear our matching light-up sweaters to the tree lighting ceremony tonight?
Warm up to the holidays with light, flaky donut sticks, now with new chocolate dipping sauce and the cinnamon cookie latte only for McCafe. Good is brewing at participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Time for an oil change? Our AutoZone Rewards program is here to help you take care of the job. We've got great deals on the products you need to keep that well-oiled machine well-oiled. Members get a $5 bonus reward when they purchase 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil and an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $33.99. Celebrating that oil change with an I Did It starts here. Visit your local AutoZone today and we'll help you get what you need to get the job done right. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
It's time for some straight talk. You know those football players who are all talk, no show? Well, big wireless carriers aren't much different. Well, Straight Talk Wireless doesn't give you the hype, just the savings. For just $45 a month, you'll get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract. All on the same 4G LTE networks as the big guys, but up to half the cost. Savings delivered right to your wallet. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Welcome back to Tuesday edition of the Jim Kloss. Coming to you on 1600 AM, 107.5 FM, the North Gym, 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and streaming on our website, kgymradio.com, where you can also find our Emil's Hideaway poll question today. Should Tua Tagovailoa's, I never pronounce that quite right.
That was close.
Should Tua's injury affect Alabama's ranking in tonight's college football playoff poll? Yes or no? Of course, Tua injured with 2 minutes or less left in that game last Saturday against Mississippi and had hip surgery, out for the year, perhaps has taken his last snaps for Alabama. But I do remember he was a replacement for a guy named Jalen Hurt in the national championship game, if not before that. So we'll see if Alabama's backup. I don't think it should affect too much.
I would have to disagree.
Right.
Because so much of these evaluations, of course, are about the resume and what they've done, but also part of it is, you know, you hear the eye test. And basically what the eye test, in my mind, what the eye test refers to is how good we think we just know a team is, right? If I know that Bama doesn't have their Heisman candidate quarterback, I know that they're not as good. That, yeah, I know they're not as good as their resume might indicate, because it's going to be a totally different team. Who knows how much differently they have to play. 8314 says, who was that Bama player again? That's Tua Tagovailoa.
I'm just here to entertain you, Texter.
I think I would have to. You've got LSU, Ohio State, Clemson. Those are, you know, three elite teams, all unbeaten. So you've really only got one spot to be competing for. Bama just lost its quarterback. Meanwhile, Georgia and Oregon are doing all the right things down the stretch here. I would be awfully surprised to see Bama get that fourth spot tonight.
3:43 on the Gym Class. By the way, thanks to Third Base Brewery on Blair's Ferry Road in Cedar Rapids, a sponsor of the Gym Class today and every day. I don't know how much you, Kyle, or your listeners, or our listeners, tuned into the Monday Night Football game last night. I watched quite a bit of it. I was interested because it was a divisional battle, and because Scott Unash was pestering me on my phone. No, not really. He's a Chiefs fan. He was worried something was going to happen, but it didn't. The Chiefs prevailing 24-17. To stay just a half a step ahead of the Oakland Raiders. And really, does this really put the Chargers out to pasture? Does it put Phillip Rivers out to pasture?
I think it definitely puts Phillip Rivers out to pasture, because I spent a lot of time last night trying to figure out what exactly, you know, he's always been weird to me. He, with the throwing motion and just his play style, it seems like he's always been dependent on, almost more than anybody, it feels like he's very dependent on the checkdowns and short passes, which you would think would be easy. He cannot do anything. The throwing motion is still as bad as it was, but you can tell he's gotten older now, and the arm strength that he had in that throwing motion is just not what it once was. And, you know, it sounds really simplified, but it seems like he just can't make some of the throws that he used to make. And it's a tough watch. The Chargers, to me, you know, they've got a lot of talent on that defense. You know, depending if they keep Melvin Gordon around, but between Melvin Gordon, Hunter Henry, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, that's a Chargers team that has a lot of talent. And kind of similar to the Bears, suddenly the Chargers are, you know, just one big piece away from being good. But man, it's a big piece to replace.
Yeah, I've always been a Rivers fan. I didn't think he got quite as much credit as he should have playing out on the West Coast.
I agree.
He's been very, very good in his career. But getting into his late 30s, and one other aspect, I think the days of the pocket passer are slowly going away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see Patrick Mahomes last night on the other side, then Lamar Jackson, and Deshaun Watson, and on down
Mitch
the
Trubisky.
List. He's running for his life. for effect, but, you know, Brady very much has been a pocket passer. But maybe the game has passed Rivers by. I don't know. But I don't know where I'd rank him all time, but he's been a very, very good quarterback.
I think that Phillip Rivers, I spent a lot of time thinking about him last night. He's got to be as close to the Hall of Fame threshold of anybody I can think of from this era. Because like you just said, he's been quite good for a very long time. But with that being said, he historically disappoints in big games. I believe I heard a stat, Tim Tebow and Matt Cassel have won more AFC conference championships than Phillip Rivers has over the last 15 or so years, which is just, you know, it's damning. As good as you are, you got to do better than that. And so I think Phillip Rivers is one of the top quarterbacks of this era, this generation, whatever you want to call it. But I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
The other aspect to last night's game, the field. The game played in Mexico City, and for at least the second time, there were complaints about the turf. And it confounds me to think that the NFL can't do anything about this. Can't find a place that has turf, artificial turf that is, or get this field into playing shape. I mean, if Patrick Mahomes, you're just coming off an ankle injury, had turned that turn the corner on that, what was a 20-plus yard run, and slipped and wrecked a knee. People have been screaming bloody murder today about the condition of the field. I just don't understand why the NFL can't get it right in that regard.
I'm with you. Kind of like I said right from the outset, I try not to be nitpicky about stuff like that, but it's a hazard. That field, they've played a few games down there over the years, and it's the same story every time. The field is not ready. The field is not conducive to cutting. And you know, when you get a field like that where you struggle to even cut properly, it's a bit of a health risk. And so at some point, it's only going to take, you know, I would think it would only take one big injury if that field continues to be like that and somebody gets hurt. I think you've got to seriously consider pulling out of that. I know that's a market that you want to tap into, but if the facilities are inadequate, as they appear to be, I would encourage them to stop trying to do that.
George Toma, I know you're 90 years old, but please come out of retirement and do something about the NFL field in Mexico City. Right now, we want to bring in our friend John in Columbus Junction. Good afternoon, John.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I heard you guys talking about Phillip Rivers.
Yes.
Here's how I look at Phillip Rivers. He is, like one of you guys said, that he's like right on that cusp of a Hall of Fame quarterback. I would say I don't put him in that category. I think he's still a block or two away from the Hall of Fame. Just for the simple fact, if you look at his playoff record, I mean, it's a smidgen better than Eli's. But, I mean, the guy's had two 14-win ball clubs that got bounced in their first playoff game. You know, like you guys said, in the big games, dude just disappears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least Eli, I think Eli's a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame. Just for the simple fact, he beat the Patriots twice on the biggest stage.
Thank you, John.
But anyway, with that being said, thanks, guys.
Thank you, John. Fair enough point, but I think that's overrated in terms of River or Eli didn't single-handedly beat the Patriots, single-handedly win two Super Bowls.
No, you're right.
But he does have two Super Bowls. And you can't deny him that.
And this is that's such an interesting name to get brought up when we're talking about how I think Phillip Rivers is on one side of the threshold, as close as you could possibly be. I think Eli Manning is as close as you could possibly be to the threshold on the other side. And it's pretty much solely because of those two Super Bowl rings.
32-63 on Phillip Rivers. He's another one of the Dans, Marino and Fouts.
Accumulators.
38-30 on the text line. Sorry, 16 years in the league at that position, Hall of Famer. And said additionally, Nate Kading cost him a couple playoff wins.
I guess, and that's
as
true.
As great a kicker as Nate Kading was, he missed a kick or two at critical times. But 4-0-0-7, I believe, Phillip Rivers at his best was definitely better than Eli Manning at his best.
It's tough to say. I mean, there was a time when Eli Manning just had that clutch gene. It really didn't last that long because he threw a lot of picks, and then he would have these really good seasons every now and then. But Phillip Rivers never, he doesn't have a single one of those moments. I'm having deja vu so bad right now, Mark, anyway.
All over again?
Yeah. Anyway, Phillip Rivers has not had, he just doesn't have a single moment to hang his hat on like that. And I think when you're talking about if you're a Hall of Famer, you need something like that to say, to hold up and say, look, I did that.
You could play in Chicago. I wouldn't mind that.
Now?
No, 5 years ago.
Oh, God. I would take him. Yeah, I would have liked him in Chicago. He's a little better than Jay Cutler, I'd say.
Let's get to our final break on today's show. When we come back, we'll share a couple texts about tonight's college football playoff poll reveal. Stay tuned here on the Gym Class.
Why wait for Black Friday? Get Black Friday prices today at the Home Depot. Up to 40% off appliance special buys, plus up to $600 in extra savings instantly on select appliances. No rebate, no hassle. Like a Whirlpool white top mount refrigerator for just $548, over $180 off. Talk about holiday cheer. Black Friday savings, early, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, while supplies last. See store for details, valid through December 5th.
Not quite ready for the holidays? Warm up to the season with McCafe donut sticks with chocolate dipping sauce and go from this.
Okay, Janice, I'm going to need you to take your holiday spirit from a 10 to a 2 before I pop your inflatable snowman.
To this.
Janice, these holiday decorations are a revelation. Oh, want to wear our matching light-up sweaters to the tree lighting ceremony tonight?
Warm up to the holidays with light, flaky donut sticks, now with new chocolate dipping sauce and the cinnamon cookie latte only for McCafe. Good is brewing at participating McDonald's for a limited time.
Ready? Okay. Give me an S.
S.
Give me an O.
O.
Give me an S.
S.
Give me an O.
O.
What's that spell?
So-so.
Are we gonna win?
Not if we play like we cheer.
Just okay is not okay. Whether it's cheerleaders or your wireless network, AT&T is America's best wireless network. Best network based on GWS 1 score, September 2019.
Around here, everyone knows you need the right tool for the job. It's the difference between orders filled and orders missed, between return customers and product returns. That's why I order from Grainger. With over 250 local branches, will call product pickup, and a time-saving mobile app, it's easy to get it right. When it comes to getting what you need, when you need it, Grainger's got your back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back, 354 on today's gym class. Kyle, you got some great rejoin music going there.
I'm keeping it hot
that?
Today.
Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann with you for the next few minutes on today's show. Scott Unash returning tomorrow to get back in the pilot seat. Let's revisit the Hertine and Stocker Jeweler text line for a few more comments. 1657. Says if Bama isn't in the number four spot, Oregon has to occupy it over Georgia. They've only lost to Auburn, while Georgia has lost only to South Carolina.
That's a solid argument. I am not going to argue at all with that.
Is Oregon the best team in that league?
Oregon,
Utah's going to have something to say about
exactly.
that, right?
Oregon's right up there, but Utah's right up there as well. Let's see. Do they play each other?
Well, they'll play each other in the championship game, conference championship game, I think. In regards to our Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers discussion, as it unfolded anyway, 3263 says Eli is top 10 all-time in yards, touchdowns, and completions with two Super Bowls. I'll take your word for that. If that's the case, that's pretty strong credentials.
Yep. And I would be curious, if you've got it right there, 3263, tell us where he ranks all time in terms of interceptions as well. But I don't even mean to...
No, I don't want to... No, you can't go down that road.
You're right.
Joe Namath is in the Hall of Fame, and he has more interceptions than touchdowns.
I believe Brett Favre is the all-time leader in interceptions.
How about that?
Now, I'm not going to tell you Brett Favre's not a Hall of Famer.
He's the Cy Young of NFL quarterbacks, right?
That's right. We can do that.
Tonight, KGYM programming brings you a couple college basketball games. 6:30 on 1600. We'll join you for the pregame of the Southern Mississippi Iowa State men's basketball game. And then at 7 p.m. on 106.3 and 107.5, the Northern Iowa Panthers take on Tennessee Martin. And by the way, on the upcoming Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn, the guys have an interview with UNI assistant Kyle Green, who is the father, of course, of UNI point guard A.J. Green. So stay tuned for that between 4 and 7. In addition to audio from players and coaches today in Iowa City. If you missed it, 10,000 tickets remain for the Iowa-Illinois game. I'm not trying to sell them. I'm just passing along the news. A lot of talk about Senior Day. Brandon Smith and Michael Ojemudia making some progress and could see action against the Illini. And thanks again to Brian Barnhart, play-by-play voice of the Illini, for joining us. Yeah, where does Eli rank? Do we know that yet?
In interceptions?
Yeah.
I can find it real quick. I could have done it myself. And you remember the player, the Illinois basketball player that Brian Barnhart referenced, 7 feet, 290 pounds?
Yes.
I had to look into that because that caught me totally off guard. 7 foot, 290. That is legit. That kid's name is Kofi Cockburn. He is a freshman from Jamaica. He played at Oak Hill Academy, held offers from Cincinnati, Florida State, Kansas, LSU, Oregon, Syracuse. So a name to remember, definitely a guy you're going to pick out off the screen once Iowa gets around to playing Illinois. But, wow, Illinois's got something.
You've got that to look forward to, Luca Garza. How about that? Iowa back in action, I think, on Friday against North Florida, if I'm not mistaken. Poll question today at KGYMRadio.com has to do with a lot of content on our text line. Should Tua's injury affect Alabama's ranking in tonight's college football playoff poll? Yes or no? Thanks to Emil's, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, and behind Taco John's. Kyle, what do you got?
The all-time record holder is Brett Favre by 60 with 336 interceptions. Eli Manning is 13th all-time with 241, one spot ahead of Drew Brees, who has 236, and a couple spots behind his brother, Peyton Manning, who has 251.
Yeah, but Favre thought he could squeeze in 300 of those for completions.
Almost, yeah.
They just went to the wrong team. Very much looking forward to tomorrow's show. Not only Scott Unash returning to the program, but Mark Ironside. We're going to talk a lot of wrestling. Iowa opened with a shutout victory over Chattanooga. Some wrestlers went to other open tournaments. Iowa State, you and I, have gotten their seasons off to starts. Chris Liss from rotowire.com. And, of course, a Bowling Night in America preview every Wednesday. Folks, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
KGYM Cedar Rapids.